It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 309, entitled The Week There Was Actual News. It was recorded on Monday, the 30th of September, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined by five, count them, five fabulous guests. We have Michelle Frechette, Cameron Jones, Courtney Robertson, James Giroux, and Taco Verdonshot. We're here to talk about, well, more or less the entire time we talk about the story about WP Engine versus Automatic WordPress.org, Matt Mullenweg. We have Matt in the comments giving his side of the events as well, but that dominates what we talk about today. But we do provide a little bit of light relief in the form of cats, dogs, and sheep. And we also get right in at the end about the Gender Equality Survey, WP Accessibility Day, which is coming up. And we look at a teeny tiny little hippo as well. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And by Memberful. Building a membership website? Check out Memberful. Memberful allows you to easily add gated content, private member spaces, payment collection, and more to your WordPress website. Get started for free at memberful.com/WPBuilds. That's memberful.com/WPBuilds. Hello. Hello there. This Week in WordPress, episode number 309. Thanks for joining us. Good night. We'll see you next week on This Week in WordPress. It's been a pleasure.
Run the hands.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we got to say. That was the hands. Episode 309. Normally, right, this is called This Week in WordPress. And let's be honest, some things happen. There's a week and WordPress sort of trundles along and often not much happens. This week is the week in WordPress. And I'm joined by five people. Now, there's a change right there. Joined by five other people today. And we're going to chat about this week in WordPress. I just want to get a couple of things out there first, right? Because I think a few of us on this panel, that we're going to be slightly restricted in what we can say. And I just want you to bear that in mind. If you've got some comment that you want to drop and it isn't pleasant, or you just think that somebody's being a little bit anodyne or sitting on the fence or whatever, and you want them to give more, go and DM them. Have a conversation with them privately elsewhere. Because it has never been the purpose of this show to drop bombs. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's something that we don't do. We're polite. In fact, in our Facebook group, the little logo says, be polite always. So we're going to endeavor to get through this week in WordPress, talk about all the bits and pieces that have happened. We're not going to stay on that subject for the whole time, but I imagine it will consume a lot of it. But just have that in the back of your mind. If you've got something to say, frame it in a nice way. Be positive. If you've got something to say about people who are not on this show, do the same thing. Just be nice. Be thoughtful. Put some thought into it before you write anything out. With that school mom telling off, let's go through and say hello to everybody. First of all, let's say hello. She's right over there in the corner on my screen, at least. Anyway, we've got Michelle Frechette. How are you doing, Michelle?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, 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 good. I'm going to read Michelle's bio. I don't know if everybody's dropped in their bio this week. If you haven't, you'll just have to make one up yourself. But Michelle's goes as follows. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to her work at Stella WP, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of underrepresentedintech.com, creator of WP Speakers and also WP Career Pages. She is the director, executive director, I should say, at poststatus.com, co-host of the WP Motivate podcast and WP Constellation podcast. She's also an author, a frequent organizer, and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside Rochester, New York, where she is an avid nature photographer. And if you want to find out more about her, you can go to meetmichelle.online. Always a pleasure to have you, Michelle. Thank you so much. We're also joined by Cameron. Let's go next there. Cameron's got a bio I can see. How are you doing, Cameron?
I am quite tired because it's quite late here. Nathan, yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. This is, I suspect, the first time where Cameron's audio and video have entirely behaved. Quite often we have...
Well, now you ruined it.
Yeah, I know. Find some wood quickly. Wood.
This is a controversy here.
That's the controversy. That's what we were on about. Cameron Jones enjoys what could be described as an entrepreneur's dream, living by the beach in the coastal town of Victor Harbour in Australia while he runs his web development agency, Shorty Designs. He's also the founder of the premium plugin store Mongoose Marketplace and the maintainer of the official WordPress plugin for the free donation platform Ko-fi, Ko-fi. You can find him online at, you know, the at symbol, Cameron Jones Web on most of the platforms. Now, the other people that are joining us today, I don't have a bio, so let's just go around. There was nothing written down, so let's just go around and do them one at a time in the order that I see you on the screen. So right there, we've got Courtney. How are you doing, Courtney?
Hello, I am doing well today. Had a good weekend, had some time off. I am an open source developer advocate at GoDaddy, and I contribute to, these days, primarily the contributor dashboards. Hari and I are hoping to talk with you maybe on another show soon, Nathan, about that one. Exploring transparency in contributing efforts is what holds most of my attention, but I also contribute to the meta and training teams, sustainability, and around the project.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Because of my inability to scroll effectively, I was unable to see Taco's bio. He's actually written one. I was just unable to see it because I can't scroll. And so here it goes.
I always do my homework, Nathan.
Yeah, I always do my homework. Okay, Taco is the head of relations at Yoast. You can probably recognize their logo right behind him. A translator for WordPress, WordCamp mentor, and WordCamp junkie. Outside of work, you can find him volunteering at various different organizations and with his family. I've noticed you've dropped the whole bike thing. Where did that go? The whole... That's gone.
Yeah, I figured let's focus on the short and important bits.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, next to Michelle, anyone's gonna look like they're not doing.
You're gonna struggle to keep up with that.
My kids are grown. You still have little kids.
Yeah.
Nothing but time.
Yeah. Fair. Kind of matters. Appreciate that. Well, thank you for joining us, Taco. Appreciate it. And finally, joining us, I have to say, very kindly, more or less the last minute, is James Giroux. The reason for that is Tim Nash was going to join us, but he's unwell. He seems to be in the comments, so you know, but he's not feeling particularly well. So, firstly, I hope you're feeling better soon, Tim. And well done, you dodged a bullet. Is all I can say. So we got James with us, and I don't have a bio written for James. So over to you, James. Tell us about your stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I have been in the WordPress ecosystem for about 15 years. Oh, over 15 years now. I've worked with agencies, plugin companies, hosts, marketplaces, you name it. And I am currently co-founder for Future of Team, which is a company helping create open people first workplaces, as well as an automatician working in the enterprise division, WordPress VIP.
Nice, shiny new job there, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so the first thing I always say is the housekeeping stuff. And that is to say that if you want to join us, head to wpbuilds.com/live. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live. If you go onto that page and you're on a desktop, look to the right, you'll find YouTube comments. So you need to have a Google account for that. If you don't fancy having a Google account, that's fine. go into the video and just, if you hover around in there, right at the top right, you'll see this little live chat. It's a black button top right. If you invoke that, you'll be able to chat without being logged into anything. You just type your name into the little box. And so that's really nice. If you want to share this, that's probably the place to do it. wpbuilds.com/live. I've got a caption for that somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. There you go. wpbuilds.com/live. Maybe go and share it. We are always joined by a friendly bunch of people, and they always drop in a load of comments, largely about the weather, which is always started by Peter Ingersoll. Is he there? Okay, yeah, firstly, David Wormsley, what the heck? So nice. David Wormsley and I did about, I don't know, 300 podcast episodes together or something like that, but we're now arch enemies. We're not. We just stopped doing podcast episodes together. He says, listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it. All right. Okay. I'll try not to, David. Thank you. Tammy Lister's joining us. She's obviously commenting on that particular comment. Thank you very much. Oh, there's Tim. There he is. Sorry not to be still joining never. You all. I would have brought popcorn, but it's all the way downstairs. And instead I have a box of tissues, lemon and ginger. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry to hear that, Tim. I really hope that you get better soon. Tammy, see the humans and treat them like human. I guess that was in response to my let's be polite comment. Yeah. Mm. So thank you, Tammy, for backing me up. I appreciate that. I won't say Cameron's comment because he's right here. But Peter Ingersoll, as he always does, drops us the weather in Connecticut. He's from Connecticut. And after a week of unexpected heat and stormy conditions, we're hoping for calmer seas. As for the weather, it's truncated, it appears. It's 14 degrees centigrade, 57 degrees Fahrenheit, and cloudy. Very nice. And Tammy's responded with the weather in good old Blighty, 16 degrees, it's a bit windy. Leaves are falling to the ground. It's nice. Oh, and look at this. Look, there we go. Matt Mullenweg, morning, folks. Some of my favorite WP people in here. Thank you, you all. Matt, I think it's fair to say you're going to get a few mentions during this episode. So here we go. Wise Art says, good morning. Thank you very much. Who else have we got? Good morning from Jeff. Amber Hines says hello from Equalized Digital. And Michelle Huffaker, good to see you all again. I saw Michelle Portland. And we lost somebody. I knew it. Cameron's.
You jinxed him.
I totally jinxed him.
Roll the footage.
Okay.
Roll the footage. Tammy will like it.
Yeah. Okay. So roll the footage. Right. In case things get a little bit heated this week, I've prepared a little video, right? And this is just to calm us all down. If any of us receive some nasty comment in the comments, or if one of us says something that we don't agree with, what we're going to be exposed to is this. Now, depending on how egregious the comment is, that could go for a whole minute. It's got cats, dogs, and sheep for
and ukulele.
A minute.
I mean,
and a ukulele. And,
my dopamine and serotonin levels have just increased. Thank you.
Okay. And Cameron is back. I'm glad to see. And we'll just get through these few comments if that's all right. So we've got morning all from Andrew Palmer. Thank you very much. Fab Saul joining us. Good afternoon from Blustery Ely. Peach and Eri. It's warm and sunny in Valencia. Not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful, bright autumnal light. And it goes on and on. But thank you. I could spend the whole show doing. Should we just do that? Should we just talk about what people write and the weather and things like that?
PubPress, the new fork of WordPress.
Less controversial.
No.
Yeah. Right. PubPress.org, the new fork of WordPress. It's great.
No, we've got to get stuck into it. And so I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to ask our panelists to be writing in a Google Doc as we go. The Google Doc looks a bit like this, right? If you didn't get the link, Michelle, I'll share it with you in a moment. Or anybody, in fact.
Multitasking.
Yeah, multitasking. That's what I'm expecting during this week. So I threw together a Google Doc, and it's pretty basic, but you can imagine that this whole show basically is going to be dominated by this one story. And if you haven't heard what this one story is about, you're about to find out. But I've got it in three sections. And the first section is just, can we write down what happened? Now, that's probably what a lot of this podcast is going to be. I'm going to just display the stories that I think have encapsulated what's going on, but then maybe I'm going to miss something, right? And if I miss something, just drop it in there. And so I'll split it into two sides, the WordPress.org automatic, and you might put a comma in there and put Matt Mullenweg as well. And then on the other side, the WP Engine side of things, because if you didn't know, that's the story. It is one side versus another. And then what did we like? What did we not like? You know, is there anything about that story that that happened during this week where somebody said something or you got an intuition about something and thought, I like that, or I didn't like that? But, you know, this looks to have been pushing the WordPress direction, WordPress project in this direction. I don't like that. I do like that. Let's see what happens. And then any ideas about what you think could or should happen now? So that's your homework, panelists. Whilst I'm talking, you've got to be dropping in there so that when I get back, look, somebody's written something already. That's great. By the time I get back to it, it's full up. And anybody who hasn't contributed gets, I don't know, they get time in the sin bin, or I don't even know what they get, but something bad happens, terrible things. You know, I get ravens to fly over your house and squawk during the night or something like that. So anyway, let's get stuck into it. I'm going to have that ready to go, and we might drop back into it at various different bits and pieces. But here we are. This is our show. It is the WP Builds podcast. This is our website. I'd just like to make some initial comments. The first one is we're sponsored by four brilliant companies. We're sponsored by GoDaddy Pro, by Bluehost, by OmniSend, and by Memberful. You can see them on our website. Thank you very much for their continuing contributions. They keep the lights on over at WP Builds, and I really, really appreciate it. The other thing to quickly mention is that we've got a Black Friday and Cyber Monday page. You know that thing that comes around once a year when everybody just basically empties their wallet? Well, that's coming fairly soon. And in the WordPress space, I like to gather all of the deals together so that they're on one handy page and it'll be searchable and filterable. There's only one there at the moment, which is WS Form, but you'd invoke this and then, you know, do some searching and filtering, that kind of thing. So it's at wpbuilds.com/black. And if you want to bookmark it, woohoo, then you can use that. There'll be some affiliate links there, but if somebody submits their deal and it's not got an affiliate link, it's just going to be a regular old link. But, you know, caveat emptor, that's going on. And if you want to secure a sponsorship slot like Mark Westgaard from WS Forms has done here, we've got a few, and click the Get Started button to, you know, get started. So once more, wpbuilds.com/black. Let's start on a happy note. WordPress is happening in Sydney. There's a WordCamp coming up in Sydney fairly soon. It's the 2nd to the 3rd of November. And this handsome chap is going to be speaking. So I thought we'd do this first. Cameron, what's going on? Is it the first WordCamp in a long time in Australia?
Yes, the first time since before COVID. So the last one was in Port Macquarie in 2019. There was one in Sydney about the same time. That one might have happened after, but anyway, yeah, there was meant to be three WordCamps in 2020, and obviously none of them happened. Yeah. So yeah, this is the first one to have happened in Australia since 2019. So it's been 5 years. And I've also seen that there is stuff in the works for another one in a different city next year. So good to see that momentum is happening in Australia. And yeah, so I have been picked as a speaker for this year. I will be presenting a talk called The Post-Thumbnail Paradox. So if you want to know what that is, then you should probably come along.
Nice. I got to say, I did a podcast episode with, right at this moment, I can't summon up the name of the person that I spoke to, but it was with somebody in the Australia WordPress space, and they were talking about the paucity of WordCamps in Australia and the fact that at that moment in time, it really didn't look like things were going to kick themselves off. But I'm really pleased to say.
Was it Ray Morey by any chance?
No, it wasn't actually. It was somebody in Perth. And
Joe Minnie.
Joe. Yeah, that's it. Joe Minnie.
I told you, make sure to talk to Joe.
It exacerbated the problem, the location of Perth, because, you know, if you were in Europe,
they are so far from
Sydney,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's like here to Moscow or something, right? It's not like just hop on a train.
Yeah, and so there's never been a WordCamp in Australia outside the East Coast. So I am in South Australia. So I'm like, you know, from east to west, I'm like smack bang in the middle, but right on the south. Perth is the very western edge. Every single WordCamp has been on the East Coast. So imagine if you were in, say, San Francisco, and every single WordCamp in your country, like in the States, had been in or around New York. That's the sort of distance we're talking, like,
I mean, that
Joe
works
is
for me.
From every other WordCamp.
I could get there too, Michelle.
You know, because Australia, you know, is more or less the same size as the mainland US, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So yeah, if when and we don't have 50 states with 50 capital territories, we have 6 states and 2 territories. I think I've got that right. It's been a long time since I've been in school. Now our population is like 95% of it is based around the coastline because there is no water inland. So very few people live more than 2 hours from the ocean. Yeah, like geographically, we are very, very different to the US, and yet, you know, we are pretty much the same size. So yeah, we have some very unique challenges when it comes to having WordPress events. Like, yeah, Joe was trying to get a WordCamp up for Perth in 2020. Obviously, the thing happened and that didn't happen. But yeah, you know, for me, I booked my everything to go to Sydney the other week. It's cost me several thousand dollars. It's a trip of over 1,000 kilometers. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah. You know, there are unique challenges that come with being in Australia, not just the fact that, you know, we haven't had stuff for 5 years.
Well, I appreciate everybody in the Australia community sticking with it. And this looks great. So, WordCamp Sydney 2024, if you go to sydney.wordcamp.org/2024, and then you can browse to your heart's content. But it does look like there's a call for volunteers, and I guess the speaker rounds are all over if you've been you know, offered the speaker spot at this point. But yeah, it's happening on the 2nd to the 3rd of November, so you've got just over a month. Michelle?
Can I ride those coattails and say that the next WordCamp in the States is this coming Saturday here in Rochester, New York. So I will be, it's a small WordCamp. We expect about 50 to 75 people. But that's coming up this Saturday.
I've just been totally like sideways knocked, because I saw Matt is trying to fill out the Google Sheet kind of thing via the comments. So if anybody wants to copy paste what Matt's putting into the comments, I don't know if you can see those, into the Google Sheet. He's obviously trying to keep us up to date on there. That's helpful. Thank you. But yeah, tell us the URL, Michelle, for that.
It's rochester.wordcamp.org/2024.
Perfect. rochester.wordcamp.org/2024. Mm-hmm. Okay, shall we do it? Are you ready? Do we need a small bracing? Do we need just a small little, you know, glimpse?
Kittens and puppies.
Okay, we'll just do like 20 kittens seconds of this. Everybody take a breath, right? Calm down. Here they come. Just use this moment to be as zen as possible. Because when we come back, it's not going to be like that. Okay, I'm ready. I've got to say, disappointingly, when I made that video, I put all the really cute ones at the end. And when I play the video, I didn't realize I had to start and stop at the beginning every time. So it's a bit disappointing. I can't sort of scan to halfway through. So we're going to get the same ones, I'm afraid. But they're cute enough. They are. Right, here we go. Let's begin the whole enterprise. So, I'll do that bit later. Right, I guess this is where we begin. So this was Matt Mullenweg, who's in the comments, wrote a blog post on the 17th of September, and it was entitled WordCamp US Ecosystem Thinking. And as Matt is in the comments, he can correct anything that I say incorrectly. But this was written, I think, probably at the end of Contributor Day, if memory serves, judging by what was at the beginning. And it began the whole process, which ultimately led to the end of the WordCamp. WordCamp US ended with Matt getting on stage and delivering an address. But it was couched largely from, I think, what was in this piece, including that image, which we're going to see just there. This image was put up on stage. And really, this is Matt's kind of, listen to me, I'm talking like Matt's not in the room and he's in the room. I feel quite weird. And it's this kind of virtuous cycle of how an open source project could be thought of. And Matt has decided to call it ecosystem thinking. That's how he's sort of encapsulated it in his own head. And you can see it just goes round and round. It's like an infinite loop. You learn, you evolve, you teach. And then finally, and this is the bit, this word, the nourish word. And if you nourish, we start the process again. You do more learning, more evolving, more teaching, and nourish. And basically what you can think of is the nourishing bit is the giving back. And the giving back in the WordPress space is in some way contributing. And we all know what that means. We know that for people like me, it basically means time, because that's what I've got. That's the commodity that I have. I have time. I don't have deep pockets. Can we all have small violins at this point, please? but you know what I mean. So I can contribute time. So I do bits of that where I can. But for other companies who have deeper pockets, the intention, well, not intention, the, how to describe it? What's the right word? What's the word I'm looking for? The aspiration. Let's go with that. The aspiration would be that a proportion of the company's time, revenue, whatever it may get consumed back into the project in this nourishing cycle. And I think broadly, we as a community, that's what's happening. I think that's what's happening. I think if you polled 99% of people or companies, there would be some intuition that that would be, yes, that's what we want to do. But Matt feels that certain things are falling short. And in this particular piece, he highlights some companies that he thinks are doing well. So he shouts out Newfold, Awesome Motive, Tenop, GoDaddy, Hostinger, and Google. Thinks that they're doing their nourishing piece. They've got their intuitions right, according to Matt. But the piece begins to talk about how one company in particular, and this is where it got weird for most people, the company got named. And that company in question is WP Engine. Now, WP Engine, I'm sure if you've watched this show, is a household name. We've all heard it. But Matt's proposition was that because they are part of a wider company, do you know what? The company has gone out of my head. Silver Lake. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Silver Lake. And I don't, honestly, at this point, I'm going to profess massive ignorance. I don't understand how venture capital works. I don't understand how this company gets bought and what their incentives are and what they've got to do to repay that kind of a debt. But the piece pointed out that Silver Lake is now the controlling entity for WP Engine. And it was felt that they weren't giving back enough. And here's the statistic. Automattic, the company that we all know that James works for and many, many others, contributes 3,786 hours per week, not counting Matt himself. WP Engine, this piece says, goes in at 47 hours per week. And so from here, this piece was written. It raised a few eyebrows. But then the story developed, because I think if that had been just the thing, maybe the story could have sort of put itself to bed at that point. But then what happened is at WordCamp US, at the end of the conference, Matt came up on stage and basically laid out the same points. Went a little bit further. We had some slides on the slide deck showing the WP Engine logo. And we had what's the person's name that was, can anybody remember?
Lee Whitlinger, I believe.
What was his name?
Lee Whitlinger, I believe was his last name.
There's a person whose slide came up, Lee Whitlinger, who I believe is the sort of one of the founders or certainly a senior person at Silver Lake. And so this came out. And for me, sitting in the audience, this was a new thing. This was a new moment where something that I hadn't heard being talked about was being openly talked about on stage. And really, that's where the story starts. So, should companies compelled is the wrong word. Should we, if we're profiting massively, should we be, I don't know, have some sort of moral guidance that we need to contribute back? And if not, should we be allowed to, I don't know, participate in the same way as everybody else? Should we be allowed, for example, to attend WordCamps? Should we be allowed to have access to the WordPress repository? Should we get all of the benefits that WordPress brings without any of the constraints, you know, and not constraints, but things like contributing back. And then it all got a bit legal. WP Engine got their lawyers to write what is called a cease and desist, which I don't understand, but I know it basically means, can you stop that now, please? And then Automattic did the same. And that, I believe, is kind of where we're at. So I'm going to return to the Google Doc. and see if anything has been written there. And if I've missed anything at this point, would you just start to fill me in if you are able to fill me in? Bear in mind at this point, panelists, that we're just trying to say what happened, not what we think about what happened.
I think there's a very important comment by Peter Ingersoll.
Thank you.
That you want to put on screen as well.
Yeah, I'll try and find
where it. Where he says that oversimplifying what we mean by contributing might be the root cause of issues.
Okay, should we get into that for a minute? Should we just, let's just have a bit of a segue and talk about that, because if I think I've got my handle on what that means. I think it means giving up time or money or some resource that you possess in order to help the WordPress.org project in whatever way that might be. So that might be, I don't know, turning up to an event, an organizing event. It might be giving money. It might be giving time. But to help Peter out, can we give us our intuition? So anybody interrupt.
Hey,
you go.
Let's go Courtney, then Cameron.
Thank you. Contributing is an area I can absolutely speak a lot to. Nice. So in other open source projects, foundations are set up in such a way that the foundation is the employer of staff that are full-time designated to the project. That is not true in WordPress. I'm not calling for that kind of a revolution necessarily. But what I am suggesting is that we look at, in other open source projects like OpenJS, GoDaddy funds OpenJS, and a few other areas too, like PHPCS, which is a lot of the backbone of WPCS, which is our code quality in WordPress. We get to these things. In the case of OpenJS, the JavaScript Foundation, in funding that is, we do have staff members that participate in areas like NPM in part-time capacities. So if they see that there's something to drive or attending meetings, et cetera, they do that. But also organizations often will provide funds as well to a foundation, and that covers some of the other infrastructure that needs to happen. So I think that there's learning to be done in some of those ways. And I know that, Matt, you've shared that the foundation will never fund contributors. And I, after launching WPCC, understand some of the IRS rules around some of that, and look for ways to still fund. So in the US, there are rules with our government, our revenue system, that say that we can't provide funds to code for open source. I'm looking to how other open source projects have addressed that and some of the needs that they have, as well as looking from my department specifically, my manager, Adam, many of you know, Marcus and Maya as well. That part of my team specifically handles our WordCamp presence and how we show up at camps. And so in other open source communities, how event sponsorship works is not the same necessarily as how it is in WordPress. And again, there are learnings to be had from that. So for instance, I attended Open Source Summit, which is part of the Linux Foundation, and their prospectus for sponsors, learning how sponsors at other open source events have it, states quite clearly if they get selection on speakers and some other issues like that. So I think that there's learning to be done there, and also some transparency around maybe why we do or do not want that for WordPress, the project. I think kind of doing a comparison and learning the pros and cons from these other systems, not saying we have to adopt them, but just having the conversation around how do other open source projects handle this? What are the wins and losses that they've experienced? What learnings can we get so that if we choose to adopt some of these things, we can bypass some of the struggles they faced, could go well for our community.
Thank you, Courtney. I appreciate your comment there. And Cameron, do you want to step in?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what Peter said. You know, I don't think that the confusion or issue around contributing is what people are doing in terms of contributing. Like, yeah, it's either time or money. Like, we don't really have anything else to offer. You know, one way or another, it's that. It's more what counts as a contribution. So, like, in the past, I've been a co-organizer of meetup events at the same time of two different meetup groups. I've been an organizer of a WordCamp. I've contributed code to Core, well, at least tickets and the code that I contributed and ended up evolving to look nothing like what I put in. But anyway, I've contributed code to ACF. I've contributed code to Jetpack. I've contributed code to a few other various plugins in the ecosystem, you know. And from what I'm aware, according to the definition of Fire for the Future, absolutely zero of that would count, except maybe, you know, the ones I did for like Core and Gutenberg project. And then there's also this attitude towards what does and doesn't count. There does seem to be this stance that, and while everything counts as a contribution, if it's not Fire for the Future, then we don't care. It's very much a, yeah, I mean, that's the way I perceive it from what I've seen out there, you know, and you know, the whole crux of this argument that WP Engine isn't doing enough, you know, they only do 40 hours a week to Fire for the Future. You know, it's, you know, I can acknowledge how difficult it is to quantify, because there are some things that absolutely should count and there are some things that absolutely shouldn't count, but you know, it's a very gray area and I am absolutely not going to try and propose a solution here.
I'm not, no, sure.
Come on,
the idea that a solution right now idea that certain people's contributions are valued and certain people's contributions are not, and then those contributions that aren't valued are then weaponized because they're not valued, even though they are contributing maybe in an equal or greater amount. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to put that out.
I want to step in here too, because I think, you know, when we talk about contributing, you're right. Not everything counts as Five for the Future. Some of the things that I have contributed to or been part of, like, the thing for me, I think that does make sense is like if it's marketing for your product or your company or your brand, I think that's fair that that's not considered Five for the Future. Still contributing, right? We still need the money for WordCamps and there's still value in doing that. But I agree that I don't think that should count for Five for the Future because it's not really fully for the community. Like there's a kickback, right? So in that regard, I think that that makes sense. But I also think I just saw a comment scroll in as well that, meetup organizing definitely counts as Five for the Future. Because if you look at that, that's giving back. Like you're not, you maybe if you're, even if you're sponsored to do something like that, that's still for the community. That's, you know, a good thing that way. So I think for me, the contributing confusion comes around what counts as contributing. You know, like we do all these altruistic things, but is that moving the project itself forward, or is it just kind of platitudes on the surface a little bit? And that's, I think, the part that's a bit challenging for us to navigate through.
Okay, just quick straw poll, either hand up or no hands. And no hands, by the way, doesn't mean you're disagreeing. It just says you didn't cast a vote. Do you think that we are confused as a community about what counts as a contributing thing?
Definitely.
Okay, so we got four out of the six, but the two that didn't vote might well not be given an opinion. No, we're just, you know.
No, I do have an opinion, and I disagree. I think that we've, especially with the revision of the Five for the Future pages and the ongoing revision of the handbook earlier this year, the definition has been clarified significantly. And I hate it because now it looks like I'm just reading out what Matt's saying. So next time, wait until I give my comment, Matt, before you start typing. But I would say that anywhere where we contribute to the open source project, which is to one of the Make WordPress teams, that's where you can contribute it towards Five for the Future.
Yeah.
If it's contributing to, well, you named the example of Jetpack, Cameron, that's a for-profit company. That is definitely a valuable contribution to our community because it's making a product better that a lot of us use, but it's not the altruistic giving back to the project because there's a commercial interest for someone else, not for you, but for someone else.
I wouldn't expect that one too. Yeah. You know.
yeah, obviously. So I can encourage anyone to contribute to Yoast SEO, but that's not going to count towards Five for the Future. Whereas if you, and I think the easiest use case is a single solopreneur building WordPress websites, spending one day a month translating WordPress into their native language. That's super straightforward. It's easy. That's exactly 5% of your resources, because one day a month equals 5%. Okay, well, slightly overspending in February, but
well, you're doing better than you should in that case. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I raise my hand because I'm not confused about my contributions and which of my contributions count and which don't. For example, I have podcasts. My podcasts contribute to the community, but they don't contribute to Five for the Future. Totally get that. Yeah. WP Speakers does not contribute to Five for the Future. WP Career Pages, the things that I do on the side, I think they're great for the community. They don't count for Five for the Future because they don't fit in one of the teams, the make teams, right? I get that. I don't think the community at large understands that, especially solopreneurs and entrepreneurs who may or may not give back because they don't, number one, understand what the Five for the Future is for everybody and not just for big corporations, but also don't know how to put that in their WordPress.org file. I think that we need more education for the masses about what that looks like and how to even make that count on your WordPress.org file. And I think bigger companies need to have better processes by which they help their employees who are contributing to those different things be able to make that count through their WordPress.org profile. So, you know, I serve on two teams primarily, sometimes marketing, but mostly I serve on community teams because I do a heck of a lot of organizing and mentoring. And then I also serve on the photos team. And that's about 4 hours a week, which is more than 5% of my time that my company is allowing me to do during my 40-hour work week. And that's awesome, right? So that's great. There's so many other things that I do that aren't part of that. I get that. But I think that we need a campaign to help everybody understand exactly how that works. It isn't enough to just have it on a website because they don't know to look there. WP.org is huge. It's a behemoth of a website. And navigating it as a first-time person in the WordPress community can feel very overwhelming. And so I think there's, you know, and I know we have mentorship programs. That's a small number of people. I'm not sure how to reach everybody, but I think that there is an understanding problem in the community at large.
Firstly, Michelle gets a biscuit because she managed to squeeze the word behemoth into this podcast. That's outstanding. You know,
I think
we were all hoping for that secretly.
Nathan,
so brilliant.
Can I add just a thought here? So as the weekend is rolling on, clearly I'm working on the contributor dashboards that I've been all about and talking to people about. Really, Andrea and I started talking about it in like 2020. So this area of what is contributing and not contributing, absolutely, Michelle, I like the ideas that you're sharing about make teams versus community at large. And I think that I would like to see more, especially from those most dependent hosts, plugins, themes, and agencies of a certain scale to do more towards the official teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving opinions about how any of those have done so or not, but when our livelihood depends upon it, especially things like showing up for the release parties and testing your own stuff against the release, that could lead to some really interesting edge case stuff. So see the test team site, make.wordpress.org/test. But if folks are going to start comparing this company or that and how they show up, please do not rely upon core props as your judgment marker, because that does not reveal things like the folks that have shown up to organize WordCamp US just happened, the people that show up at meetup groups. That is all very vital. I've been circulating a picture of a coworker of mine that at WordCamp Canada cleared out 100 plugins reviewed in a day. That doesn't show up on the core props list. So if you're going to look at how my employer shows up as contributing. The bubble charts are very insufficient in that regard, and that's why we need to have a more holistic picture of what's going on. And I think over-reliance on that is core is absolutely vital. Obviously, we really wouldn't be here without the core team. However, it's insufficient in terms of any kind of comparison. And really, I don't want to get into nitpicking on comparisons. It's not about which company does this, that, or the other thing when it looks at an organization that might be sponsoring people. I think that what I'm most interested in is benefiting the cost of the teams. Do we have the resourcing in the individual teams that are needed to sustain things? If your company, your organization, your customers, your clients, what have you, are dependent on having, I'll pick on Serbia because I have a lot of coworkers in Serbia. If that's the audience that you've got, wouldn't it behoove you to have the docs ready at release in that locale? You know, so thinking about it from that perspective of where can you get the biggest bang for your buck in terms of serving your audience can help go a long way at increasing the opportunity to contribute.
Can I ask, would anybody welcome the opportunity to get something in return? And I don't mean financial. I just mean some sort of accreditation for their contributing. And again, I don't mean like necessarily, you know, one size fits all. But would it be good to have kind of like a like for like thing? Would it be good to have a place where you can go and log the things that you contributed against the set of criteria that were published on a website? And then, I don't know, the badge system or something like that to say, you know, in the last year, I can prove that I contributed, I don't know, 50 hours to WordCamps and get something back for that. So a whole range of different ways to demonstrate that you contributed, but also a team on the other end, and dare I say it, they probably would need to be paid for or something like that, of people who could literally do the due diligence. You know, when I apply for my passport, they're not just giving passports out. Somebody has to go and say, what did you do? Prove it. And once I've proved it, okay, there you go. There's your passport in return for all of the bits and pieces that you sent us. Is that just a silly idea? It kind of, yes. It seems silly. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. I'm sorry, but yes, it is. I'll be brutally honest and blunt with you. Why? Because it's super hard. One of my favorite examples personally is in the Dutch WordPress Slack. Some of the people who are global translation editors are coaching others to help do better translations. That is completely off the radar of any qualifying instance. Otherwise, you would need access to any and all the Slack instances, all of Slack DMs, all of everything. And that's simply impossible. So I think that the system that we currently have in Five for the Future, which is trust-based, self-reporting, as Andrew Palmer tried to point out a gazillion times in the chat, is the best system, an honor system. Be honest about what you're contributing towards Five for the Future is the best system. Otherwise, it becomes impossible.
Yeah, I understand. There'd be this crazy spaghetti, wouldn't there? And it really wouldn't get rid of the problem of what counts and what doesn't count. I did raise a few comments. So, apologies, Courtney. I'm just going to get to the end of this a little bit. Our comments are usually one way. They're directed at us on the screen. And today we've got this unique situation where there's, you know, comments are flying left, right, and center. And there's lots of at-ing people. So there's lots of comments going to each other, which is lovely. But it does mean that I'm not necessarily going to be able to pick out every comment and show it on the screen. And I hope you understand that. And so if you've said something and I've just bypassed it entirely, it's not through... there's no kind of editorializing going on there. I'm literally just not seeing them all because I can't keep up, frankly, because I'm trying to monitor what's going on elsewhere. I apologize, Courtney. Carry on.
So, Taco, that was one of the concerns with the tooling that we have to report some of the metrics. We're looking solely at activity, and I highlighted about how we have so many different Slack instances for the different locales and what would need to be done for that, as well as things like there's a lot in the data that I'll get with Nathan and we'll do a deep dive with Hari and I and Nathan on this. But there's areas that we can work towards. Like right now, our dashboards don't have a means of bringing track in and we're still dependent on that. I spoke with Otto about that at US. Otto and I are going to catch up later this week around some of that and see what we could do. Getting the Slack systems in, getting the it does take RSS, but that doesn't solve for things like somebody's revised post a page, a thing somewhere, and then in all of the locales. So we're multiplying all of the places. And again, the self-reporting, you know, a lot of the work that some of the folks of us do in the project are more knowledge work oriented. And so I looked at what Drupal is doing, and it is a self-reporting mechanism. Anything that can be automated, good gracious, let's do that because we're all busy. Anything that cannot be automated, then let's make a means for being able to pull that information in a reasonable way as well. Drupal has a self-reporting mechanism. I'm forgetting the name of it at the moment, but it's basically a form you fill out and says, like, my employer, I'm contributing on behalf of either like my employer, my customer, my whatever. And I think that there's room for all of that to be included, as well as some of the things that Google Looker Studio can provide about traffic to the site, and things came up in a marketing meeting during US as well. So it's on the radar. These are big problems to solve, yes.
Can I just say, if you've ever peeled back the curtain on Courtney's capacity to automate things, it's rather impressive. It really is quite impressive what Courtney has managed to automate on, you know, the stuff that she puts out each week, especially on post status. And as she knows, I crib a lot of what Courtney creates and what Michelle creates for my my bits and pieces. So, yeah, thank you for everything that you do. Okay, right. As I said, too many comments coming through. We'll get to the Google Doc in a minute. But a couple of things that just occur to me. The first one is, this kind of feels like it had to happen at some point, right? If it wasn't in our community, it'd be in another one. We've got capital coming in. We're a popular project. WordPress is 43% of the web. And we've had, in the last 10 years or so, we've had this kind of more or less exponential growth. And we've had lots of companies coming in and putting their capital in. And some of it, I guess, could be described as venture capital. And so were we not going to knock heads at some point? Was this not some kind of inevitable where the people who perhaps might describe themselves as, I don't know, authentic open source, let's just use that, you know, they've got that kind of more, I'm for the community, I don't represent finance. They've got their opinion of how projects like WordPress should look. And it's very, I don't know what the word is, but it feels different from the inside of that. It feels different from the inside of the sort of the money-making approach, if you like. And it did feel to me 4 or 5 years ago when every week we had a story about a company buying another company, you know, a big company buying a plugin or hoovering up all the plugins. Were we not all thinking that at some point the heads are going to collide? And it just so happens that this week it happened. So there's that. The other thing is... I just wonder, people in the comments, if you think this is about, I don't know, about just purely about money, or if you think it does have to do with the WordPress ethic, the ethos of an open source community. The whole thing is still an experiment, right? We think WordPress has been around for all these years, but if you rewind the clock 50 years, none of this existed. You know, open source anything was just an anathema. Nobody had ever heard of it. It didn't exist. So I guess we're just kind of making it up as we go along. And given the magnitude of WordPress, feels like we're at the vanguard and the tripwires are going to kind of hit us a little bit earlier. Well, there's my diatribe. I don't know if that's added anything. I saw James sort of nodding his head a little bit during that. And I don't know if you want to chip in.
I think that's good. Like, has this always been coming? Absolutely. Right. I think... the open way that WordPress tries to navigate these challenges, this was a very likely scenario. I don't think, I think there's two things that we've got to watch here. One is the issues around contributing are very much moral issues. They're not legal issues, right? This is about the project we're creating, the ecosystem we're creating, and who we as a community want to celebrate and incorporate into the way we move forward. So that is one issue. The legal stuff, the trademark stuff, that's totally separate, and that's between companies. So my thinking is, you know, on that alone, this is a conversation that was definitely going to come up. And it has been coming up. It's been something that's been there for a while. Fi for the Future exists as a concept because years ago we could see the writing on the wall that if we didn't put something in place, companies would take advantage then. So, yeah, I think we're here. I think it's a good conversation to have, but it is one of multiple conversations that are happening at the same time.
We're in such a curious space, though, aren't we? Because, you know, in every other walk of life, I mean, there's definitely some exceptions, you know, in the UK, at least, healthcare is not a for-profit thing particularly, but education, right? Things like that. And most things in society, there's a definite relationship between you do something and you get a return on it. You do a thing and you do enough of that thing and you expect to be remunerated financially for that thing. And that's just the normal course of events. When I talk to people about WordPress who've got no relationship with WordPress, I say what it is, and they say, well, how much does that cost? I say, well, no, it costs nothing. They're like, hang on, wait, what? And then I explain, and that's really weird what's going on there. You know, they find it genuinely intriguing. And we do have it in us, don't we, to assume that, okay, you did X, you need X times whatever dollar sign back in return. And yet this isn't that. And so I can see in the comments there's a lot of people, you know, equating it, the contributions, to money. I can also see the opposite in the comments. I genuinely don't know what we do about it. But I do know that society, the regular society that we all live in, has a definite skew towards being remunerated financially, because that's just the simplest way to do transactions. We all get it. But in this case, it's entirely different. And how we grapple with that, and how we lock it down, and how we say that's fair, that's not fair, is really difficult. But in this particular week, we've got an issue where, you know, the co-founder of WordPress has decided that, you know, that this needs to be aired, that the bottleneck has been reached, the tripwire has been crossed, other metaphors that mean the same thing as that. Yeah. And so here we are. Is there anything interesting on the spreadsheet yet? Has anybody added anything over there?
While we go looking at that, yesterday afternoon, Matt shared in the Make WordPress Hosting Slack some ideas of having a more, after getting through the hosting page, Matt, what did you call that? I don't have the link right now, watching for you. But after WordPress.org/hosting, having a listing of those that also meet the criteria, I think, is roughly what he was going for, of Five for the Future contributing. I don't have the hosting Slack. I was DMing Matt the link. And thank you for getting some sleep last night, Matt. So I don't have the link right now in front of me for the hosting channel. But the hosting channel, there's a discussion that's had. And instead of instead of the idea Matt had, I said, hey, let's go back to the idea that you agreed with me about, which was being transparent. And I kind of came up with a rubric or a style. When things are hard to assess as a teacher, my background was indicating that, yeah, thank you, Lucas, WordPress.org/hosting/official. And so the idea for that, it's not a live link yet that I know of, although someone could double check on that, is, you know, if you're not just a recommended host, but you also are doing the things of contributing. And the idea that I had is, I think it's okay to share this. So Matt, you have said that you have had private conversations, you know, you have reached out in the case with Heather and others directly to various companies. The community doesn't get to see that backstory. And the community doesn't get to know what those standards are that are set. And so the hosting page and others become moving targets, because the standards are shared in those private conversations about what one needs to do to be restored. And by having something that is, when it's hard to grade students on something that is very subjective, a rubric is what teachers lean on to become more objective. So this is fancy educator talk, but basically it's like, let's say here's the standards on a scale, what we need to do to get there and be listed. And so that conversation is also happening. And I feel that that's pretty relevant to this idea of, like, should organizations get some kind of a badge or something to indicate that they are in good standing? I think that that's part of it. And I'd like to see that transparency in that area.
I'll just quickly say, Cameron private messaged me a little while ago to say his internet connection's a bit patchy. So I don't think he's freaking out and sort of leaving us periodically to go and, you know, punch a wall or anything like that.
And it's, It's a backup laptop I'm using. My normal one is fried.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I tell you what,
it's not the best setup.
Whilst you're here, it's holding on very well. And Taco, in a little private message, this is cool. I did not know this. I said go back 50 years or so and open source wasn't the thing. I am wrong, apparently, because open source goes back more than 50 years when Volvo open sourced the invention of the 3-point seatbelt. Now, there's your propeller hat moment. The woohoo, that's nerdy as you get. So, okay, right. Thank you for that. Let's go and see what we got on the spreadsheet. So, again, apologies. I know that in a show that's an hour and a half long, we can't really open up all of the bits, the nuances of this whole discussion. Hopefully, we've raised a few bits and pieces, but the intention was to really frame it around this little document here. So, okay, here we go. It is not going to be perfect, but this is what we've managed to get together. So, March the 22nd. So, what happened? March the 22nd, Paul Moriana, sorry if I've butchered the name, who is the CEO at Woo, and Tony Schneider, the interim automatic CEO, presented a deck to Heather Bruner on trademark licensing. 30th of May, WP Engine receives the first term sheet. 12th of June and 3rd of July, WP Engine calls out terms. 16th of July, Victor Wan from WP Engine says that he'll discuss terms by the end of July. So that all that's all a preface to this whole debate. That was all the stuff which happened prior to Matt writing his post on the ma.tt website. So that adds a little bit of context behind the scene. Everything else that you have heard about has been happening in public, so you can see the fallout of that. Let's go to the more sort of nuanced stuff here. What did we like? What did we not like? So on the liked, the call for contribution, that's a win, right? Isn't that a pretty good win? It totally put out there the conversation about contribution. So everybody now knows that that's a thing. And if you're using WordPress, I honestly, it's in the regular media this week. That's never happened. I mean, the real picture, you know, the newspaper that you go and get on the corner of the street, it's in that. That's never happened. And so we've got this project being talked about. And so people now know that you need to contribute. What else did we like? Matt being very available. Okay. Whoever wrote that, if you want to say something, what was the context there? Matt went on podcasts, he's been publicly tweeting, whereas have we basically got crickets from Silver Lake? I don't know.
I understand quite clearly when employers would like a certain amount of silence or not. I think Matt being available is good. I think when this cycle slows down, I would like to see Matt's availability across .org also continue. Perhaps not to this extent, because you do need sleep. You need to take care of you. But I think being available is good. I do think that it's helping the community to understand more of the issues.
Okay, great. And then we have this other liked, which is Matt explaining the details. By the way, I'm looking over there because that's where I've got the screen. I'm not being like elsewhere. Matt explains the details on the whole structure of everything WordPress and why it is the way from a legal and tax perspective. Where did that surface? Whoever wrote that, was that the one of the video podcasts that he did over the last few days?
I wrote that.
Okay.
And yeah, that came on the Theo T3.gg interview that he did, which was... I mean, if you listen to or watch nothing else, like watch that one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I have, like, there's so much blurred lines about what is WordPress, what is owned by what, you know, in the end, it all just comes down to Matt owns pretty much 99% of it. But, you know, as to who owns and manages what part of it, it's very confusing. And so, yeah, I know there are lots of people who have been waiting for that to be put out in such detail, and not just the detail, but also the reasons why, from a legal and tax perspective, why a lot of that had to happen that way. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, and I haven't seen that video. How did it make you, if you're willing, how did it calm you down a bit? Did it, I know you weren't on any kind of precipice anyway, but did it give you a bit more of a wider picture? Did it make you understand Matt's position more? You may have already been on that side of the debate. I don't know, but did it give you a broader sort of understanding?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I mean, I knew most of it that I'd figured it out or had heard other people summarize, but didn't have the why, like, especially from the tax thing. Because, yeah, part of me is just like, you know, like when the whole bridge fairy lights thing happened a few months ago, there was, you know, a lot of blow off, and Matt pretty much said, it's my project, I can do whatever I want. You know, paraphrase is mine. And so, you know, part of me has always wondered, like, why does Matt own like the project and not the foundation? Why does the foundation only do the trademarks and the events? And so this clarified that exactly why that is 100% not an option, because okay. It wouldn't fly for tax reasons. So like that was really helpful.
Okay. Yeah, I confess.
At the very least.
I now wish that I had seen that, but you can't consume everything, right? In the run up to something like this, you do. I've read what I've read and I didn't what I didn't. But
you're falling short, okay. Nathan.
Yeah, I know. That's enough. Right. I also had to sleep, sadly. And then we've got another one here. Eventually, we'll get more clarity on how the trademark works. So, okay, so that's playing it forwards a little bit. So we're seeing as one of the good things is that new things will happen. Things that haven't yet been addressed or have fallen by the wayside or are unclear might get some kind of inspection, might come under the microscope a little bit and therefore become a little bit more clear. For example, trademark. It does sound from what we talked about, we spent a long time on contributions. Maybe there's a piece on trying to figure out what those contribution looks like. By the way, the new universal symbol for contributions is that. If you do jazz hands, that's now what it means, apparently.
Who knew?
Yeah, well, I've just coined it. Okay, so what we didn't like. Okay, here we go. WordPress presentations could have been more thorough in the history as well as the consequences. So maybe this speaks to the bit which Cameron just mentioned, where Matt was able to, on a podcast, which I think was quite a lengthy thing, was able to explain some of the bits and pieces. He maybe didn't have a chance to do that, and the presentation could have been different and had those other things peppered throughout it. Okay. Website visitors and agencies building are there as casualties. Website visitors and agencies building there as casualties. So this is an argument that I've heard a lot, especially in regard to WP Engine clients. There was a whole piece about the repo getting switched off, which then kind of got switched back on. There was a reprieve. I think that reprieve is still. Yep. I think it then
until tomorrow.
Till tomorrow, 1st of October. I don't know what's going to happen then. I'm imagining that WP Engine are figuring that out as we speak. But then there was also the things like what happens to people, for example, who are using ACF. Can that be updated and what have you? Because that spreads right outside of the WP Engine ecosystem. So casualties, basically, that could be a problem. We don't like that. Somebody wrote, Matt is facing health issues, get well soon. So, okay, thank you.
He shared his health concerns during his address at WordCamp US.
Okay.
Kidney stones are not fun. I know this from experience.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I think it goes without saying, we don't want anybody to be unwell, so best wishes to Matt. And Matt, okay, what we don't like, another one, Matt criticizing WP Engine for not speaking out despite sending them a cease and desist. Matt criticizing WP Engine for not speaking out. So are we basically saying that on the one hand, you're telling them to stop talking about it, but on the other, you're kind of getting on social media speaking, so you'd like them to do that? So are you saying that's a mixed message, whoever said that? And finally, in here at least anyway, damage to the WordPress brand. Is that a given, do you think? Do you think in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, we'll be caring about this story? Do you think it'll blow away and nobody's going to be upset anymore? Do you think the wider public will now have knowledge about WordPress and distrust it more? So my print newspaper that I can get at the corner shop has an impact. You know, they write a story, it changes people's lives. You know, they write a hotel review and it's favorable. Suddenly that business goes woohoo. And if some news article about WordPress being, I don't know, being in a spat or, you know, it's negatively impacted, maybe, I don't know.
I think it's less about that in particular and more that there are so many people feeling like they could be collateral damage. So I see posting on Facebook groups and things like, well, what does this mean for me as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur, as a site owner? If I don't host there, but I host someplace else, am I going to be at risk tomorrow? And those kinds of things, I think those need to be settled so that people can at least breathe and go, well, I'm not in that battle, but I'm okay, kind of thing. So I don't know. Okay. I saw Courtney nodding. I think she has seen some things as I have probably.
Okay, yeah, we'll leave those buried if it's not available for public consumption. We're trying to be polite and nice here, as we always do. But yeah, but then there's the old adage that any news is you know, any press is good press, right? I guess. Oh, good press. Gonna go and register that domain. .com. And I'll get the .org while I'm at it. Good press. The point being that, you know, if you're being spoken about in the media, it's probably good. Who knows what the intuition will be there. And I do wonder if out there in the general public, anybody even knows that this is going on.
They do. You know. It's been all over TikTok even. Okay. I should say all over. But lawyers and people are talking about it in places that are not normally talked about.
Okay, right.
I think it's going to, we'll see some interesting shakeup with the supply chain. Basically, supply chain is everything from we ship a release to how people are getting the updates and all the layers between. It'll be interesting to see where the courts land with it.
Okay, thank you. And okay, now let's just turn our attention finally to what could, should happen now. Bear in mind, this is just our
opinions.
Is
it time for some kittens in between? So that
okay, let's do it. Yeah, quite right. You know, there hasn't been enough kittens,
clearly,
dogs, or sheep for a while now. So again, just sit back, concentrate on your breathing, perhaps adopt the lotus position, and just enjoy the next 20 seconds. I'm trying to sound like some sort of jazz, you know, somebody that introduces jazz musicians. So sit back.
You have to get a lot closer.
Getting much closer. So sit back, relax, and try to enjoy cats, dogs, and sheep. I should have put a dragon in there or something, shouldn't I? Just thrown one real humdinger in there.
Smog.
Yeah, that's right. Just freak us out.
Can I just check something with you, Nathan?
Yeah.
Did you say lotus position or fetal position?
Because I'm said
not
lotus.
Sure I got the right one.
I said lotus, I think. I hope I did. Okay, that's not going in the transcript. That's coming out. Oh, good grief. Okay, let's get to this bit. What we think, maybe this, some of this has come from the comments, maybe some of this is just what we as a panel think. What could or should happen right now? WP Engine rebrand. Engine WP flywheel, etc. I think it was a little bit of confusion at the beginning, and I know that the trademark description on WordPress.org around WP got changed. There was a little bit more clarification added into there. This podcast is called WP Builds. If I'm correct in my reading of it, I've got nothing to worry about because I'm not kind of, you know, I'm not being a bad custodian of that, but I hope that's the case. Okay, so we'll see if that happens. If Matt wants the nuclear option to be an option, documented process in intricate detail of how this will play out for supposed bad actors, revenue numbers, contribution numbers, and what counts as contributions, punishments, timelines, etc. Interesting. Transparency and contribution. Yeah, we got that kind of twice, haven't we, here? I got another one just there. Transparency and contribution. Have public discourse about five of the future discussions. Okay. Clarity in sponsor booths. By the way, WordCamp US, WP Engine were a sponsor. And so there was, you know, the possibility for tension there. They were one of the, I can't remember what the top tier is called. Was it like platinum or something? But they were, you know, one of the top tier sponsors at the event. And so there was some thought as to whether that would be difficult. Clarity in sponsor booths and more incentives for sponsors. At other open source software conferences, the sponsors get speaking slots for staff or to nominate others. And this comment is, you're all dancing around the critical point. WordPress, the project, needs cash. But distribution of that must be for the community above all else. The project needs cash, but distribution must be for the community above all else. Can somebody unpack that one for me? Does anybody parse that easily?
I copied that over from a comment that Andrew Palmer made in the comments.
Oh, thank you. Andrew Palmer and I talk fairly frequently, so I'll take that up with him. But yeah, it's a cash-based thing. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. So what I would say is that
meanwhile,
I think
the comments are sort of going in a different direction.
Oh, thank you.
Where the inclusion of sheep in your little intermezzo is discussed as being very British, where Cameron's just eating lamb.
The heck? Everybody loves a sheep, don't they? Aren't they like one of the, like a little lamb?
Sheep's more Kiwi than it.
Wicked whams, don't we? So, okay, cats and dogs, that's cool, but sheep, no? No. Did you ever hear, there was once a band back in the 1980s called the KLF. They were really popular. And they did this album, I think it was called Chill or Chill Out. And they hired a recording studio and demolished more or less half of it and then rebuilt it for sheep. So that when they were playing their instruments, they could be watching the sheep because they were trying to play them as gently and as calmly as possible. And they figured that sheep would contribute something to the album. Go check it out. It's true. And so I've always thought of sheep as being quite, you know, quite a calming little animal. Have we done that story? Are we all happy to move away from, you know, that tripwire?
Yeah.
Just nod.
I think that besides the sheep in the comments, which obviously is an interesting step, but there's something else where Matt just said, we don't need cash. We need, let me, yeah.
I found it.
We need hours. Cash.
We need hours, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but those people need cash to pay their bills. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that honestly, point, Cameron, is about, so with the foundation not being able to directly staff folks. Matt, I would love to go over, I had a good conversation with another cohort, another company, and Hari at lunch at US about the common struggles between someone like myself saying we need to do XYZ, someone like yourself saying we need to do XYZ, and wherein that breakdown occurs. And I would like to get together on some FAQs to put on the Five for the Future page that are specific to that mid-management level to help unlock that, as well as Amber. It was bringing up, Amber Hines was bringing up about the impact that all of this has on small businesses. And I shared on another podcast recently that the idea of if you're a small business and how do you also afford to contribute in the midst of all of this? You know, I've seen some small businesses that have said, I show up and I contribute as part of their selling advantage. You know, Amber, you certainly contribute to the accessibility team, and I'm sure that you let your clients know that. So that's amazing. For those that feel like I cannot, the simple low lift things like kicking in at least a premium license plugin equivalent to someone that is contributing through their GitHub sponsors page or something like that. If you yourself cannot get in there with the hours that the project needs, and I think Matt's right on this, the numbers in our contributor dashboard show that Matt's right on this one. If you yourself can't get in there, then there are other means of funding contributors. And that's something that I'm really passionate about working on. So let's talk.
I think it must be a very difficult circle to square. The, you know, we can see clearly in the comments, don't we? There's this kind of cash, volunteer, volunteer, cash. They're very difficult to work out perfectly. And obviously a project like this requires sort of an element of both. And I don't know how to manage that and corral it. I know it's hard for me to get my children to get in the car. You know, that's really difficult. And trying to shepherd a project with thousands of people contributing to it, gosh. So hopefully that has at least raised some of the points. Hopefully you've had a chance to sort of listen to an alternative position. I realize that we haven't nailed the coffin on this. We haven't figured out the answer. We've just said what we've said.
It's not our responsibility.
No,
it isn't. To figure out the answer. But no. I will say the one thing. I will commit to doing a webinar through PostStatus on how to make sure that you attribute your contributions through your WordPress.org profile. So nice. I will do that for the community. So I can only do so much. I'm one person, but I will commit to doing that after WordCamp Rochester and after WP Accessibility Day, because I am very busy this weekend next.
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, we do have some other stories lined up. Do we think we've got time for any of these?
We have to talk about WP Accessibility Day because it's next week.
Okay. So let's do that one first. WP Accessibility Day. If you go to wpaccessibility.day.
Correct.
No. 2024.wpaccessibility.day.
Well, first one will get you there eventually too.
Yeah. You'll get there eventually. It's happening when? Give us the dates, Michelle.
October 9th and 10th. So it begins next week. It begins at, I'm so bad at time zones, but I think it's 11:15 a.m. Central time zone in the U.S., which is the Chicago time zone if you're a city person. But it will run for 24 hours. It is through Zoom. You do have to register to be able to access it, but it is a free event. And we would love for everybody to attend this. So go register to attend. We do not spam you. You're welcome to unsubscribe if you need to after the event. But we want to make sure that you get all of the things that you need. We have an amazing keynote speaker, Lainey Feingold, who is an accessibility attorney. Amazing that she's going to be doing the keynote for us. And then just 24 hours of really amazing, I say amazing a lot, phenomenal speakers. 27%, I believe, don't quote me, are actually identify as having a disability themselves. So we are practicing what we preach. We have just 24 hours of amazing events. Please go register.
Got to say, here's an example of what a community can do well, right? It's just a blooming excellent piece of work, this. The website's great. The community's great. The topic is just, whoa. It's the right thing to be doing at the right time. And thank you so much to anybody who's had their fingers in this pie. It's absolutely brilliant. So wpaccess2024.wpaccessibility.day. And I'm looking at the schedule page and you can go and find out more about that. And just to be clear, Michelle, it's totally free, all totally online, free. And it runs for a whole 24 hours. So if it you does. Happen to be anywhere on the globe, let's I imagine that's most of us, apart from like 7 people on the International Space Station. They're all good. Yes. You'll be able to check this out. And he said, rather self-servingly, hold on, www.timeline.com. Let's see if I can find it. Go to podcast. Da-da-da. Here we go.
There it is.
I did a podcast episode on the Tavern with Isla Waite, Bette Hannon, and Ryan Bracey, all about what you can expect. So if you enjoy getting things in an audio way, check that out. It's wptavern.com/podcast, and it's episode number 138. So there we go. Right, there is that. Now, which are the other bits we're going to cherry pick in the minutes that are remaining? No, they're all to do with the story that we did so far. So's that. Gosh.
I think that the gender equality piece is super important.
I was just going to say that one.
Okay, yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, I was just trying to, in my own mind, trying to intuit which one mattered most. And here's all the other things that we could have talked about. Gosh.
Next week.
Look at it. Data views. We've got Yoast. We've got WPLDN Masterclass with Tim Nash. We've got some new plugins to do with payments. We've got a new Gutenberg UI kit with Figma. We've got Pascal Birchler talking about how you can do media through rendering it through the browser. Gosh, what else have we got? Data views. And here we are. This is where we're going to go. Now, Michelle, I am just going to hand this over to you because I know this is your area of expertise. Is that all right?
Well, yes, of course. So Siobhan McEwen and Francesca Morano have this wonderful project called WP.includesme, and it's all about helping women climb the corporate ladder. So why do we not have more leadership, women in leadership across WordPress and across tech, for example? And so they put on with Ray Mori earlier this year, a wonderful survey. I changed my word from amazing to wonderful, a wonderful survey. So to help us all have a better understanding of where exactly do we fall right now? How many of our managers in WordPress are men, women, gender diverse, or they didn't want to say at all. And so this piece is kind of the wrap that all up and share the information that came in through that survey.
Does it basically boil down to what we're looking at on the screen? And apologies if you're consuming this via audio, which I know a lot of you do the day after. I'll just read the stats very quickly. We've got a pie chart. The pie chart has 5 different areas. Man is categorized as 55.4%, woman 23.8%, not applicable 17.8%, gender diverse 2%, and prefer not to say, actually doesn't have a percentage next to it, but I'm guessing it's going to account for about
less than
something
1%.
Below 1%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the takeaway is the man slice is more than half of the pie, right?
It is. And that not applicable is probably people who responded who are entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, so they don't have a manager. So if you look at people who have management, it becomes an actually higher percentage that are men in the positions of authority.
Do you know, Michelle, so obviously, I'm going to link to this in the show notes tomorrow, but it's WP includes plural dot me, and then you can find it there. But the piece is entitled A Call for Change, Gender Equality in WordPress Businesses. You can see the title there. You can go and find this for yourself. Is there a sort of like a call to action of this, or is this just, here's the data, now we'll digest it?
I mean, there's a lot more questions on there about whether your company helps women move forward, how they, you know, there were so many questions in the survey. There's so much more information. But the whole point behind WP includes.me is a mentorship program where women in positions of leadership mentor women who want to be in positions of leadership over a set course of time and help them understand the kinds of things that you need to be and put into place to help move yourself forward in an organization.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. And was there anything else that we wanted to mention before we knock it on the head? I'm just flicking around at all the different bits and pieces. Did anybody else, Taco, I apologize, you raised this for me to then hand it directly over to Michelle. I apologize.
No, but that's because Michelle's on the podcast today and she's a much better advocate on this topic than I am, because I'm in that 55% being a male manager. But I do think that it's important to point out that we're not at gender equality yet. So that's why I highlighted this one. And you said, do we have another one? And I think actually the addition by Michelle, the pick of the week, is probably the best way to end today's podcast.
Can I just jump in really quick before that?
Yes.
I want to jump in really quick before that and say, because we haven't mentioned the rest of WordCamp US this year, I want to give a shout out to all of the organizers, speakers, volunteers. That was a phenomenal event. And 1 hour of that event has dominated our conversation for the last week. But I really want to give a shout out to the amazing teams that put that whole thing together. So kudos.
I don't know if I'm ever stepping my bounds. I know we have a couple of organizers in the chat, but as an organizer that happens to be on the show because I organize Contributor Day, thank you, community, for all that you also did and brought to the event. Thank you for making it a fantastic time together. And just a quick, super humble brag, 600 of our attendees came to Contributor Day, and it was also a really fantastic turnout. I think percentage-wise on par with Europe. Our attendance is a little bit lower than Europe. But so from an organizer of the camp, thank you, community, as well.
I had... dare I say it? I think it was my favorite WordCamp.
Well, there you go.
There, I said it.
I wasn't organizing this year. Maybe that's why it was your favorite.
And I've always had a really nice time, but there was something about it. I loved the venue.
Yeah, it was great.
There was a whole juxtaposition of things, and I just thought it was brilliant. It was really well organized. Everything was just right in the right place. You could walk around and collide with people, not literally, because there was just so much space. It was
great coffee.
So sorry. Sorry, Cameron, we're really belaboring this, aren't we? You get to...
2 minutes you get to midnight here.
The extra day was good, too. Showcase day was really awesome just to see the different ways that WordPress is applied in the wider world. And also, like, from my perspective, you know, these large organizations that we all look up to that do, you know, like, the big world brands, right? What was really cool was to see the passion and enthusiasm for WordPress from them that came out as a result. They came in apprehensive in some regards about how they would be received by the WordPress community, and they left wanting to get more involved, to do more for WordPress, to talk about their stories more in WordPress. And I thought that was just an incredible outcome. So
definitely. Yep. But the real prize of this week is definitely what I put in for the last thing. So can we close on that?
We can. But first, before we close, I think it's time to we'll just take stock, and we'll just go back to the cats. Remember the Chicken Little, the sky is still up. In the UK, it's full of cloud. You can't even see it.
Here too.
Okay. Peter Ingersoll, give us the skinny. What's happening in Connecticut? But I think it's important at this stage to, you know, just pay homage to all the cats, all the dogs, and dare I say it, all the sheep. Here they come, another 30 seconds of sheep, dogs, and cats. do 30 seconds. It was way, it's too much.
Besides that hippo, is absolutely.
You're giving it away. Okay. So Michelle found this corker. There's no way you're going to get through this without just freaking out.
Smiling. Yeah.
What the heck? Here it comes, right? I don't even know how I'm going to play it, to be honest. I'm just going to play the YouTube video. So this is a YouTube video entitled Endangered Pygmy Hippo at Thai Zoo Goes Viral. There's got to be something wrong with you on a profound level if you don't find this video enormously captivating. Here we go. Just watch this. I don't think you've got the sound. I apologize. There's no way
it's
I can move
so
the sound.
Yeah. It's so tiny.
Oh.
It's just even without sound, it's so super cute.
Look at it. I thought it was a big one. Look at the teeny tiny one. Michelle.
I never wanted to hug a hippo before, but now I do.
you have gladdened our hearts. I really appreciate it. As is always the case, I thank you so much for joining us. Firstly, let me get that video off. Otherwise, I'm going to croon about it. Thank you to Courtney, to Michelle, to Taco, to James and Cameron. Thank you to you, anybody who made a comment. We did manage to get to the end. And as far as I could see, no mud got thrown. Did any mud fly? I think we managed to escape the mud flinging. So thank you. I know that it's a heated topic. It could have gone in all sorts of different directions. And I appreciate you for, keeping it sensible and all of those kind of things. And shall we call it a day today on the, should we go through the entire video as we round it off on today's episode? I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, I think I can. Before we do.
Shall we have another
80 something hours? Yeah, I know, exactly. What's that? Sorry, Cameron?
Don't we have another 80 something hours to go?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was a tweet. I put out a tweet saying this week's show would be 90 hours long. It'd start today and finish on Thursday, but I couldn't manage that. That was as much as I could muster. Thank you so much. Right, here we go. Let's do it. I know you all know the drill. Come on, get those hands. I can only see one of Cameron's hands, but it'll do. Never mind. There we go. Thank you so much. Right, in that case, we're going to knock it on the head. Appreciate all your comments. We'll be back next week with another show. And you never know. Maybe this topic will still be going, perhaps not. But guests, if you want to stick around, this is going to take a whole minute and a half. But if you want to just have a natter after the call has ended, feel free. That would be nice. I'll see you all later. Bye-bye.